following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Thursday program, a few off subject, I guess. Some things happening here in the last 24, 48 hours that are a little different. And Steve Sipple is going to join us from the Lincoln Journal Star to talk about a few of those Husker things. Bo Pelini has come out and said, you know what, I've talked to some coaches, and I think one of the things that would help everybody and alleviate the pressure on the high school athletes and all this committing and decommitting is not to have a national letter of intent signing day. Is that a good idea? ESPN.com. Adam Rittenberg talked to Coach Pelini. There's a small article on that on ESPN.com on the Big Ten page. And also Nebraska's probably biggest fundraiser and who has had a lot of ties to the university, Paul Myers. He is out, and that doesn't sound like it was a, hey, I want to really, I've got another job, I'm leaving type of deal. However you want to categorize that. There's been a decommitment from the football team. So a variety of things there, and we'll touch on that with Sip. Plus, continuing coverage of the Belmont, Joe Drape from the New York Times is going to join us on the program at the bottom of the hour. Talk about who he likes and who we should be looking at. Of course, with the Belmont right there in New York, when we talked with him 3 weeks ago before the Preakness, they were all fired up, hoping that California Chrome could bring them what will be huge crowds, always is, when the Belmont has a chance at a Triple Crown, and will it happen? So we'll talk with Joe about that today here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So it's all coming up. Stay with us, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us, and that is at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 and 1550, and of course the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Here's a question for you. This has been brought up, and I'm sure you've seen it by now. Some of the big-time books come out with their over-unders for college and NFL football wins and losses. Colin Cowherd has talked about it. But Nebraska, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago where we saw 8. They have it at 7.5 where you could actually wager, will Nebraska have more than 7.5 wins or losses? And, wow, I honestly, even during the Bill Callahan era, even after the couple of rough years in there, Frank Solich went 500, we had the one sub-500 year, I don't ever remember the win total being that low on Nebraska, and even I don't think this is going to be an explosive year. There's possibilities. I keep hanging it on the quarterback position, but Vegas is right more than they are wrong. So if they're saying Nebraska is going to win either 7 or 8 games, How much concern is that for you? Now, 8-4, that's where Nebraska has been time after time after time after time, getting that ninth win to be one of only three schools during Bo Pelini's tenure to have nine wins in all of those seasons, in all six seasons. What is it, Jeff? Alabama, and who's the other one? Who do we remember?
Oregon.
Is it still Oregon?
Boise State lost it last year.
Yeah. Virginia Tech went out a while ago. Boise State went out last year. So it's Alabama, Oregon, and Nebraska, the only Division I programs to have nine wins over the last 6 years. Your thoughts? I mean, I know everybody out there is going, oh, Nebraska's going to win more than – they're going to win at least eight games. I'll tell you what, when Vegas comes out and tells you 7.5, I'm a little concerned. I'm with you. I think Nebraska wins more than eight games because I think they're going to have a pretty stout defense. But we've been talking about all the tough road games. Should we be looking at home games? Because, I mean, the only way Nebraska doesn't get to that total is they have to lose to somebody they shouldn't lose to at home. And that's basically what all of these over-under totals are. I mean, Vegas looks at it and goes, okay, Nebraska's going to be favored in 7 or 8 games this year. Alabama's going to be favored in 10 or 11 games this year, so we'll make it 10.5. It's usually, if they don't trip up, overs. If they do trip up, unders, and that's usually what it comes down to. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's all we need. I got everything we need. Tomorrow on the show, Mike Perenio is going to join us from Las Vegas. Also coming up tomorrow, Gina Bukola from the TVG Network. We've had some folks, had a little fun here. This has been on Facebook, and you've probably seen it. The old $15 to spend, and I think it started with the NBA. You know, who would you pick as your center, and then your two guards and your two forwards, and you come to $15. And it's all over the place. There's one up on Nebraska basketball I saw yesterday, which I think I had more problems doing the Nebraska basketball one than I did the football one, because I took Eric Piatkowski at $5, who you've got to, maybe one of the greatest that Nebraska's ever seen. But we've had some folks having fun on our Facebook page, filling out who they would take. Some of our co-hosts have done it as well. Jimmy Langan did it. Randy did it. I've done it. And basically, it's giving you quarterback, running back, fullback, wide receiver, and tight end. Now, let's be frank here. We've had some great running backs and fullbacks at Nebraska, but it seems to me they would be very interchangeable that, you know, so Joel Makovic is your $5 and Jeff is $2. You know, if you're putting together a budget here, you don't want to spend a whole lot of money. But if you haven't seen it, here's what you got. Your quarterbacks. Your $5 quarterback is Tommy Frazier. $4 is Eric Crouch. $3, Turner Gill. $2, Scott Frost. And $1, Jerry Tagge. Your running backs, starting with $5, Rozier, Roger Craig, Lawrence Phillips, Amon Green, and then Reynolds. Wide receiver, Rogers, Fryer, Jeter, Davison, and Muhammad. Fullbacks, Joel Makovica, Rathman, Schlesinger, Jeff Makovica, Sauer, and your tight ends, Miller, that's Junior Miller, Mitchell, Wistrom, Harrion, and Williams. So those are the ones you have, and if you go to our Facebook page or you go anywhere, you're going to be able to find those. And I'll give you mine. I still, with all due respect to Tommy Frazier, I think Tommy Frazier and Turner Gill are so close to how talented they were that when it comes to this, I'm going to take the $3 on Gill with Frazier at $5, and it blows my mind that Crouch would be your $4 quarterback, but everybody knows how I feel about that. So Gill is who I took with my quarterback. I took Lawrence Phillips with my running back for $3. Wide receiver, I took Irving Fryer instead of Johnny Rogers, and that was basically a money deal. So I've already spent $10 there. That only leaves me $5. And Matt Harrion, at tight end, had he not been injured, may have been the greatest tight end that Nebraska ever saw. Junior Miller was awesome. Johnny Mitchell, awesome. Of course, was picked too high in the NFL draft. Unfortunately, that's where he's going to be remembered from that standpoint. Tracy Wistrom? Really? So I went with Harrion. That left me $3, so I took Schlesinger. as my fullback. So I could have taken Sauer as my fullback and put Mike Rozier as my running back. But, you know, either way, again, Frazier Gill, Rozier Phillips, Rogers Fryer, I don't think you can go terribly wrong. In fact, you know, if you wanted to take Junior Miller as your tight end and pick Abdul Muhammad as your wide receiver for a dollar, I mean, I could see that. But let's take a look at what some of the other folks said. Jimmy took Scott Frost, and then he took Bobby Reynolds as his running back, so he only spent a dollar there. He took Matt Davison. Of course, I think he went the all-Nebraska route here is what he did. Then he went with Matt Herrien from Pierce and Tom Rathman out of Grand Island. So he went the all-Nebraska $15. Randy took Turner Gill, Roger Craig, Irving Fryer. That only left him a little bit, so he took Schlesinger and then the dollar tight end in Williams. Some of the folks out there, let's see, quarterbacks, Gill, Frost. There's a Frazier from Kimberly. There's a Crouch. Oh, Mike. Frazier. There's another Frost. So only one Crouch, and nobody took Jerry Taggy, and everything else is pretty split up there, although a lot taking Gill and Frazier. There's an Amon Green. How can you go wrong? That's who Dan Schmidt says, I take Frost, Green, Fryer, Schlesinger, and Herrien, and I still got $2 left over. Well, that's good for the salary cap. And what about Roy Helu? What about Roy Helu? He's not on the top five running backs, and I get it. Maybe he shouldn't be, because Bobby Reynolds in that last slot is awesome, and then Mike Rozier, Roger Craig, Lawrence Phillips, and Amon Green. You can't go wrong with any of those. A lot of people taking Amon Green. See, here's Sean. He took Abdul Muhammad as his wide receiver. And then he says, how about Rex Burkhead, even though he has it on the list? Well, you can't have him. If he's not on the list, Sean, you can't pick him. It's not a $0. No, you cannot pick Rex Burkhead over those running backs, all right? And Roy Helu, you know, third leading rusher for running backs, because Eric Crouch is third. And I guess Rex is five. I guess so. I don't know. Man, that's hard to believe. I guess you can have Rex. He's not on there. Let's see. Who else might have had a interesting... Rich says, pure genius. I do not know any of my friends that have not made their dream team before, but assigning value to the players adds a whole new element of thought. He takes Gill, Phillips, Johnny Rogers, Jeff Makovicka, and Herrien. He goes, Lawrence Phillips is a steal at $3. I would have paid $6. So there you go. Some definite fun out there. Something to think about. Who would you take? Because, I mean, seriously, it really means nothing. So you can check that out on our Facebook page. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. On the other side of this break, we're going to come back with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, talk about a variety of things. Nebraska's top fundraiser stepping down, and Bo Pelini maybe saying no National 11-10 signing day. We'll get Sip Sots after this.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel,
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partly sunny skies today as temperatures get up into the upper 70s, with tonight dropping to the upper 50s with a partly cloudy sky and Friday a high of 81. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Brad Rogers. Right now it's 72.
I got no friends 'cause they read the papers. They can't be seen with me, and I'm getting real shot down.
Thank you, Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along on a Thursday. It's that time of year where the weather is nice and the grass is green, but if it's not, maybe you need a little help to take care of your landscaping. If you've not taken the time, stop into Johnson Lawn's new nursery. Get there today and get all the flowers and plants and rocks and trees you need to make your garden and landscaping project a breeze. They're open inside Johnson Lawn and Landscape Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and of course Saturday from 9 to 4. So if your garden and landscape hasn't come through, and we know how rough the winter was, but we're kind of into that point now where things are starting to really catch up, green up, and maybe are where they're supposed to be. If it's not that way with you, then check out the folks at Johnson Lawn Landscape and Nursery beside Yellow Van in Kearney. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to 4. Don't forget, next Thursday again, we're going to go visit our friends over at Bandits in Grand Island. We're going to be making stops there throughout the summer. And this Sunday, well, they've got their big golf tournament going on this weekend. Big golf tournament for Bandits, but it's all sold out, and they have a good fan and a customer appreciation golf tournament, so it's going to be fun. There you go, a Sunday afternoon, formerly 3, starts at 2 in the afternoon, playing a wide range of music, and folks, you can request songs. It's karaoke with an actual band, so just a two-man band. They know all kinds of songs, and it's a great way to kick back and enjoy a Sunday afternoon, so it's at Bandits in Grand Island this Sunday, formerly 3. Starting at 2 Sunday afternoon, going on in Grand Island. The UNK men's golf coach, Wes Burnt, has announced the names of 5 high school seniors and 1 transfer who will hit the links for the Lopers next season. They are continuing to improve, obviously, nationally ranked, and Michael Colgate, their first Division II national qualifier. Luke Bennett comes out of England. What are you doing? That's some recruiting budget we've got. Lucas Gross-Nicholas, who has torn up at Aurora. Alex Hobelman from Kansas. Bo Hombach from Colorado. And Braxton Rissiter of Iowa. Chris Senna coming out of Phoenix, Arizona. The Lopers lose just Lance Lawson, the only senior on this year's squad that qualified for the NCAA regionals. And as we talked about, Michael Colgate will redshirt next season. He'll be working on his game. He wants to make sure that he can be a part of UNK when the regionals will be hosted at Awori Dunes here in a couple of years. So a little different look, and maybe not necessarily young, because a lot of these guys with only one senior are going to be coming back. So we'll see how that all plays out for the UNK men's golf team. But some updates there for you. Don't forget, game one of the NBA championship is tonight, and you'll have it all right here on ESPN Radio, and we will have coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. Tip-off will be shortly after 8 o'clock. Of course, that opening night, there always seems to be a little bit more pomp and circumstance. So all that going on, and we will have it for you here tonight in Game 1. Tip-off just after 8 o'clock last night. Stanley Cup went into overtime with the LA Kings. Darn, I was so close. I stepped out there and said the Rangers in 5 because I thought they could win Game 1, but they dropped it last night in overtime, and maybe the Kings won't have to force a Game 7. And, of course, as you've heard about, you know, if you're my age, you grew up with Don Zimmer. And if you're older than me, you remember him playing. And if you're somebody like me, you remember all the coaching gigs he had. And just, you know, even if you never met him in person, he just seemed like your granddad or your dad or your uncle that you'd always like to hang around with because he had so many stories and was such a cool guy. But Don Zimmer passes away at the age of 83. Well, rolling along here, as we promised, Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal star. I got to be getting ready for vacation, don't you, Sip? How's it going, man?
Hey, Doug. How are you doing? Are you getting ready for vacation?
Well, I've said this, you know what, unless I have a reason and without a family or kids to truck around so you have to make a vacation, you know, I take some time off here to go lose a golf ball, but as far as jumping on a plane and going somewhere, you know, if there's something to do, I do it. I guess I don't plan them like maybe you have to because there's only a month or two out of the whole year where you can do it.
Well, what you're saying is you don't have a boss at home. See, I got multiple bosses. I go from one boss at work to another boss at home. Boy, she'll kill me, so let's get out of this. I'm hot and cold on the vacation thing. I'm not a huge advocate of it, but me and my wife last year went to New Orleans for 2 weeks last summer. Yeah, and I enjoyed that immensely. Didn't want to come back. French Quarter is really fun, and there's a lot to do in that town. So that was a fun vacation, but I got no major plans this summer.
All right, buddy. Well, reason I wanted to have you on is it just seemed like here over the last week, including yesterday, there were a variety of different stories, as you've written about on the Journal Star and on the website and Husker Extra, to talk about. And I guess the first one I want to start with is Paul Myers, who was a kind of a rock of the program and probably doesn't get a lot of publicity among the casual Husker fan because they may not know that he's one of the guys that raises a lot of money. And if you read between the lines, this probably wasn't him saying, I got a really good job somewhere else, I want to leave. So I read your article today, but for the folks that haven't got that far, just kind of your thoughts.
Paul Myers, yeah, you're right. That's a good – he is a rock. He's interesting because he chooses to stay in the background. But he's still become prominent because he's garnered so much respect, okay? I mean, over a 30-year period. I mean, he was a great baseball player for your younger listeners, an All-American, a guy who got to AAA and, you know, one step from the majors. This was an All-American outfielder with a great left arm that hit 350. And then, you know, he was an assistant coach, and then he moved into development. He raised money for years, and he was a good fundraiser and a good man. I mean, he's a straight shooter. Now, he's got some clout, and, you know, he's very close to Bo. He's very close to Darren Erstad. He's opinionated. He doesn't hold back. And I, you know, that can be awkward. And the big thing is, and I'm rambling, but here's the point. He went after that AD job hard, yeah. Okay? And he, behind the scenes, he made a pretty real orchestrated effort to get the job that went to Sean. So because of what I've established, it can be a little awkward politically.
Well, is that, Sip, in your opinion, is that what it came down to? He kind of hung on after I-Course was named the AD, and so it wouldn't look like he was quitting because he didn't get the AD job?
Oh, no, I don't think. Now, listen, no, I don't think it's that at all. I think he tried to make it work. I just don't think it worked. I think he would have liked to stay. It's my feel and it's my opinion, but it's an informed opinion that this was essentially a forced resignation. If everything was hunky-dory, as I wrote, he would still be there. Okay. There wasn't necessarily anything you could pinpoint to say, oh, he did this wrong, therefore they got to get rid of him. It was just more of a, you know, like I wrote, it comes down to in-house politics, and we see this all the time in various places, you know, in the corporate world. It's a corporate shakedown in a way, you know. I mean, in a sense, that's just what you're looking at. It's not earth-shattering stuff. It's politics, and, you know, Paul got caught up in it.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Thursday. So, Sip, you lose kind of a hometown guy here that knows mm-hmm. all the ins and outs for the Huskers. I mean, who do they – is this a job opening? Do they search for a guy? Is there somebody in-house? Is it a position you don't fill and you take care of it with the people you have? What's the vibe there?
Well, I don't know. He'll be hard to replace in that regard. I mean, he's – again, it's interesting to me. I mean – I'm not saying I'm in favor of it. I'm not really saying I'm not in favor of it. It's just interesting that Sean and Harvey, I mean, you cannot leave Harvey Perlman, the chancellor, out of this discussion. It's interesting to me that they would feel that he's replaceable, because I don't know that he is. It'll be difficult. He has a lot of ties to a lot of key people. So I don't know what you do there. I really don't. I don't know what the plan is. I bet they have a plan. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Sean has somebody in mind. But I don't know who that person is.
Moving on to another topic, Adam Rittenberg talked to Coach Pelini here recently, and it's getting some pub here that Coach Pelini mentioning that he thinks that National Letter of Intent signing day should be done away with, basically.
Yeah, and I wish... I talked to Bo this morning about it. I told him I wish I could poke holes in it, but I can't find any. It's a pretty good idea. I hate to admit it, but he came up with a pretty good idea, and he's very, you know what? He's adamant about it. And the reason being is his reasoning is it would slow down the process, that you wouldn't see so many schools offering, for instance, sophomores and juniors because of the risk involved. Because if you offer a sophomore, like the kid at Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, who committed to Oklahoma State, had a big sophomore year. I don't know when he committed, but he had a big sophomore year and then did nothing as a junior and a senior, you know, great running back, ran for 1,800 yards as a sophomore, mm-hmm. got all kinds of recruiting attention, and then went south, got suspended as a junior, didn't come close to matching his production. Now, schools would think twice about offering a sophomore and a junior because you want to wait and see, right? So you might get schools that wait, you know, until a kid plays some of his senior season before they offer. And the other part of it is he says a lot of schools just throw out offers kind of willy-nilly without really even knowing a kid very well, not seeing him all that often, but they offer him anyway for whatever reason. So that would be curtailed, one would think. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I can't really think of any reasons why it wouldn't work.
Sip, the only one, just while you're talking here, the only thing I could think of is if that kid commits, you know, before his senior season, then the coach gets canned or moves. I mean, you always do have about that 6 week, depending on what bowl they play in. You always got a good 6 week buffer there, and now you'd really be handcuffed.
Well, now Bo did address that. He said if there's a coaching change, then the rule is null and void. That kid can recommit to somewhere else. So, yeah, there's provisions in his plan, in Bo's grand plan, in the commissioner of college football's grand plan. He discussed that, and that would be something that could be, you know, you could have a kid, you know, not be committed to a school if the coach left.
Well, if you got a chance, and we're talking with Steve Sipple, if you got a chance to talk to Bo this morning, any other knowledge?
No. He's all wound up about the situation with that prisoner and the Taliban is what he's all wound up about. But I wasn't. I mean, we talked about the recruiting thing most. And again, I tried to say there has to be some reason this hasn't happened. And, you know, his response, of course, well, it makes too much sense. That's why it hasn't happened. And I can't for the life of me think of why people might not. I mean, they ought to consider it, I would think. But I don't know. He's probably right. the fact it makes so much sense probably means that there's no chance of it ever happening.
Sip, I know you're like me when it comes to recruiting. Okay, the kid committed, great. The kid decommitted, whatever. So just a thought here. So I put my faith in Sean and everybody else that takes care of recruiting on a day-to-day basis. Spitzer tears. When you come out of Chicago, everybody's saying, ooh, Wester Camp, we're getting in that Illinois, we're bringing kids in. Sounds like he's out maybe because of the transfer from Washington and Stringfellow coming in. And it doesn't seem like anybody's too broke up about this.
No. You know, he didn't have a real good, you know, that when they had the rivals camp in Chicago, he was, I would say, disappointing. But I don't have a great read on why he decommitted. I think that, I mean, the feeling I get is it was kind of mutual. And so it made sense from that standpoint. I started getting kind of a bad vibe around the time they had that rivals camp in Chicago a few weeks ago, and he didn't perform well. So in talking to the recruiting guys at that point, you know, I was starting to get that vibe that I don't know if this is going to work out. Now it's interesting to me in this discussion. Like, that's an example of a kid I wonder if Nebraska would have offered as early as they did under Bo's proposed system. See, that's the kind of kid where if they were at all hesitant, they might not have done it, you know, because that kid might commit, and then you're stuck. you know, there's no going back. So I don't know. I like it. I like it because there's accountability on both sides. There's accountability with the player whose commitment is, you know, once he commits and signs, that's it. And it's the same way on the other end. There's no backing out. So I got off track there. But no, I wouldn't regard Spencer Tears as a, you know, you don't ever want to lose a kid. They obviously like him. They obviously offered him for a reason. But with Stringfellow in the fold and such a long period left in recruiting. No, I wouldn't. It barely makes. I mean, I could care less, really. There'll be a lot more receivers on the radar, including C.J. Johnson, who's probably right in that Spencer Tears realm. You know, I mean, if he's not better, so that's one reason why I wouldn't regard it as a.
And, of course, for the folks that haven't paid too close attention, C.J. Johnson out of Bellevue West is a former Husker Cluster Johnson's son. So we'll look at that. Just a couple of questions left before we let Sip get out of his way here. The Big Red Football Camp, you mentioned camp. They're all over the place. Big Red Football Camp, there's two of them here in June for the Huskers. Is that something we should pay attention to?
I'd pay attention to it if I were a Nebraska fan and a person who follows high school athletics in the state, because there are a couple kids that are trying to get scholarship offers. One we mentioned, C.J. Johnson. Another is Adam Holhorf. He's a lineman at Seward, probably a defensive lineman and interior lineman, although he can play offensive line and he could probably play defensive end in some systems. There's at least two, and there may be more, that are going there with legitimate hopes of getting a scholarship offer. So I'm interested in that, particularly those two kids. So, yeah, I'm paying attention to it for that reason. And there'll be others. There's other guys going there that Nebraska has on their radar that they really want to see. And for the program, it's really important. Is it particularly newsworthy? I don't know, but it is an important couple of weeks for the program.
Major League Baseball draft is tonight, and there's a good chance that Monte Harrison and Nebraska's own Jackson Reitz both get picked tonight. In your heart or in your mind, Sip, odds that either one of those will ever step foot on the Nebraska campus to play sports?
I don't have a great feel for Jackson Reitz, although, I mean, I just know he's highly regarded, and I think there is a chance that they could get him, because I think that, you know, it depends, you know, Doug, you know how it goes. It depends who you talk to on when he's going to get drafted. But if he's not drafted in the second round, if he would slip it, you know, first or second and slip into third, fourth round territory, yeah, I think they could get him, which would be gigantic. I mean, come on. That to have him and Ryan Bolt, and then, I mean, I can't even imagine what that team would be like if they had Reitz, Ryan Bolt, and Monty Harrison. I think Monty Harrison is a long shot, like everybody else probably thinks. You know, he loves baseball. He's got 33 wooden bats in his bedroom. his first love. I mean, come on, the guy loves it. And if he gets drafted in the first round, then I just can't believe you'd ever see him here.
Yeah.
And I think a Stringfellow coming is a sign maybe of Nebraska coaches already taking provisions. Now, would they have taken Stringfellow if they thought they were going to get Monty Harrison in the fold, or if Monty Harrison were already in the fold? Probably. So, but I don't know. I just don't. I know this. I mean, you get me on here for inside stuff, and I can tell you that they wanted Stringfellow bad. I say that with no reservation. They really wanted Stringfellow in the program bad.
Cool.
They regard him as another Anunua, just faster. So that's big for them.
All right, Sip, that's some great info for us on the Doug and Daddy Show. As always, it's great to catch up with you again, and it was great to see you at the Big Ten tournament, man.
Yeah, good to see you too. And I'm sure we'll. Hey, are you going to make it to the College World Series?
I'm not going to tell anybody, but you know it.
Well, then we'll have lunch up there. How about that?
All right, sounds good. I'll buy.
Well, all right, we're going to the old Mattress Factory. I'll make sure I eat well.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you then. That's Steve Sippel. He's the best Lincoln Journal star here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got more, including a great honor for one of the Tri-City Storm players, Joe Drape, going to join us after this to talk Belmont on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
The 21st Annual Ravetta Tractor Pull will be pulling two nights. That's right, you get two nights of pulling action June 13th starting at 7 and the 14th starting at 5, all in Antivar Park. Featuring the Grand National Outlaw Class, Light Superstock, Super Farm Stock, Pro Stock, Diesel Superstock, Two-Wheel and Four-Wheel Drive Modified, Limited Pro Stock, and Super Unlimited. In a dirt-flinging, engine-roaring, smoking tractor pulling action. See you at Antivar Park June 13th and 14th.
Come on in!
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
It's a place you'll be proud to belong. The Kearney Country Club, with its well-manicured 18-hole golf course, tennis courts, resort-style swimming pool, programs for all ages, as well as fine and casual dining. This year, find out how new members can partner with others to save up to 30% off a membership. Call the Kearney Country Club at 308-234-3151 for details and to set up a time to see for yourself. The Kearney Country Club.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, who do you think will win the NBA Finals?
half of our voters took the Miami Heat to do it in either six or seven games, and then the other half took the Spurs, or even 10% of you that said they could do it in four or five games. Well, it all starts tonight here on ESPN Radio, pregame at 7. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. You can always vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Here it is, folks. Your question today: will California Chrome win the Belmont and become the first Triple Crown winner since affirmed in 1978? I'm telling you right now, I told you back before we went to the Preakness, sometimes you just get a feeling in your gut. Sometimes you think it's fate. You can do whatever you want. I'm voting yes. The last couple of times we got to this point, I'm pretty sure I voted no. Let's bring in Joe Drape, New York Times. He says, this is what we wanted, all the excitement at Belmont, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, thanks for the time. Sorry we're a couple minutes late. How are you?
I'm great. I'm with you. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. It's 48 hours to post time, and we need the answer, don't we, guys?
Well, do you want to put out your vote here? Will California Chrome get it done?
You know, I'm going to say yes, and then I'm going to qualify that and saying I've sat up there 8 times now and got 0-7 with a scratch. So, you know, I'm not really sure I'm an authority on this. But, guys, look, this is one of the better ones that have come through here with an opportunity. He's looked absolutely phenomenal since he's gotten here. 2 big races in the first 2 legs of the Triple Crown, ran his totals to 6 straight victories. He's got a rider who's in his zone right now in Victor Espinoza, who's joyful, who's came here 12 years ago on War Emblem with the same chance, but he was a much more tense, younger, inexperienced guy. He's just really been happy and enjoying the whole scenario down here. And, you know, you look around the field, and there's some really good horses. He's going to have to earn it. There's no doubt about it. And we'll talk about the contenders at some point. But, you know, he's proved that he's that good right now, that he's above everybody right now. And if he keeps healthy for these next 48 hours, if Victor stays relaxed and rides him like he has the last 2, I think he gets it done.
We talked yesterday because, fortunately for the Belmont, they draw the post positions a little bit earlier in the day, so we could talk about it on the show yesterday. And it seemed from some of the experts out there that they did have a little bit of concern that Chrome draws the 2 slot and that they feel he needs to get out early and not get pinched. Your analyzation of drawing the 2 spot.
You know, it's no harm, no foul. This isn't the Derby where you have 20 horses rushing quickly to the first turn. This is a mile and a half wide sweeping racetrack. You got a lot of time to make up for your mistakes there. You know, the one knock on this horse always has been that he sometimes looks to the right and can get left at the gate. Victor has not gotten him left at the gate at this point. There's only 11 horses in the field, all right? You know, there's no really true speed horse that's going to try to beat him to the punch. So I don't think that's that big of a problem. Would you like to have been 6th or 7th where you kind of could look left and right and see who's doing what? Of course you could have. But, you know, 2's not going to kill him.
Let's take a look at the rest of the field. Some of the folks will recognize some of the names for the Kentucky Derby. Then they'll go, I've never heard of this horse. So there's some horses that didn't run in either leg. And then there's a couple in here that have tried all 3 of them. Did you like the morning line? Have they done a good job in your eyes, or do you see something special in there?
Well, you know, they did what they had to do. You have to make him the prohibitive favorite, and that puts everything out of whack. And if you remember before the Preakness, guys, last time I said, you know, use those Derby horses with California Chrome. They came in as the best of their generation. They had a tough race. They popped back out. And so here what happened, right on Curlin comes barreling down to Kid Second. I think he's a solid prospect. He can run all day right there. Wicked Strong ran a strong 4th at the Kentucky Derby, had a little bit of trouble, still wasn't going to get California Chrome, but he's been looking great over here too. And he has got a strong closing kick. The problem on him is, will he be close enough to get that strong closing kick ahead of California Chrome on there, because if you go back and look at history, the ones who win this race are within four or five lengths of the leader going into the far turn. You need to be close. One run, late closing run, just does not work here because you're too far back and you have too much ground to make up. So, you know, he's a rock-solid one. Commanding Curve was the runner-up at the Derby at 34-1. You're not going to get him at 34-1 here, but, you know, he's going to be running late. He's one that I think will be lucky to hit third or fourth because of that late one-run style. And then the new horse that is the wise guy horse, as they say on the backside here, is Tonalist. And Tonalist, I bet, will go off as the second favorite. He's a big, high-cruising colt that won the Peter Pan here at this track 3 weeks ago, ran it in convincing fashion, just ran away with it. It was a wet track. You know, he looks the part. He's bred to go this far. The problem I have a little bit with him is you don't see a lot of Peter Pan winners coming back and winning the Belmont, and this will only be his fifth race. He's a little lightly raced, and, you know, this time of year, you'd kind of like to see a little experience, a little bottom in the horse. But, you know, you kind of look around, and we were all sitting there at the draw yesterday, and you go into the draw thinking, well, who are these horses? And then when you sit down and start looking at it, you think, boy, this is a pretty nice bunch. So, you know, it is going to be a tough race for California Chrome, and especially Victor Espinoza. You know, Jerry Bailey, the Hall of Fame jockey, basically helped down Smarty Jones back in 2004 because he was on an okay horse, but he went out on the first quarter and just leaned right next to Smarty Jones and made him run faster than Stuart Elliott wanted to. After him, here came DeSormo on Rock Hard 10. And I saw him the other day, and he said, you know, Victor's got a target on his back. This is called the test of the champion for a reason. Guys are going to come at him all the way through the race, and he's got to be like a Garmin. He's got to, like, recalculate his route depending on what they make him do. And, you know, the key is the horse healthy? Yes, we think so to this point. Is he calm, cool, and collected? Yes, he is to this point. Can he get a mile and a half? There's not a horse in there that anybody knows can get a mile and a half. I mean, this is the one and only time they're going to run this far in their whole lives. I mean, this is just the Belmont is the test of the champion. It's the longest race on the calendar for these guys. You know, then we go to Saturday and we'll see what happens.
We'll talk with Joe Drape of the New York Times here on the Doug and Daddy Show about the Belmont. And in your article, you quote the great trainer, if you want to make him, he'll be a great trainer if they win all this, Art Sherman. And he says, I really feel better about this race than any other race. That's big time right there. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I'll tell you why. This horse is getting stronger and bigger and better as this series goes on. You know, I look back at who came before him. Big Brown looked like he was a lock for it, but between the 3 weeks between the Breakness and the Belmont, he started losing a little weight. His feet, he had had tender feet. His feet were giving him problems. Funny Side, he came and looked great until he ran a workout 4 furlongs in 58 seconds, which was way too fast, and he just looked knocked out heading into the race. Smarty Jones, what he did, he was great right up to Saturday, but then by then he was edgy and rank, and Stuart Elliott couldn't control him. So, you know, I do think he's the best horse. And if you just go with that, we talked about that in the Preakness, and, you know, I've talked about it in the Derby. I know you guys are betters and handicappers. When you look at him and look at the numbers and then go watch the replays, he lays over the field. Don't you guys agree?
Well, he does. And the more you, I mean, everybody just, it's like you said, he should be, and he is the best horse in the field. Now he's got to go out and he's got to win it, and he's got to prove that. He had to do that in the Kentucky Derby. He did that in the Preakness. And now obviously, he's got to do it in the Belmont. And just like we talked about before, do you bet on him, or you just watch the race and enjoy it? And if you do bet to make money, you obviously basically got to throw him out because, let's face it, Joe, there are a lot of times that it's not like in the Belmont that the horse that is favored to win the Triple Crown gets second. There's a lot of times they just die, and they're not even there. They don't even hit the board.
You're absolutely right, and that, you know, that's the choice we make. The two things to do if you don't want to cut the baby in half is you bet two across just to have that in case he wins for posterity, and then you make a ticket that says, all right, he's going to finish third or fourth, and then you start using that. But, you know, you can make a little money with the way the line is set right now. I mean, he's going to go 1-2 even money, 1-5, all right? But that means everybody else is going to be way back. I mean, the second choice might be 5-1. But there are some horses in there that are going to be pretty good at 10-1, 12-1, 13-1. So, you know, if you put Chrome on top and just spread a little bit underneath, you'd make a decent payday. If you put them in second, a little better. If you threw them out altogether, yes, you would. But, you know, you're reminding me of something. And a horse that all you guys should use in your exotics is Matuzak. And it's a horse trained by Bill Mott, who is of the Axerben ilk, Hall of Famer. And he's bringing in Mike Smith. And they won this race with Drosselmeyer a few years back at about 40-1.
Well, folks, he is the number six horse if you're looking at that. And right now he is one of the long, long shots on the morning line with the three-horse Matterhorn. So keep that in mind. Joe, I think this is a good time. I do have a couple more questions, but let me get your picks. Have you put your ticket, your number one ticket, have you put it together yet?
You know, I'm sitting down right now with it. I mean, I'm going to put Chrome on top. I think it's time. You know, what's the point of betting against him at this point? He's a neat horse with a neat backstory. They haven't made a false step, horse or connections, in these last 5 weeks. I'm going to use him on top. I pick Wicked.
Uh-oh. We lost Joe. We'll reconnect with Joe. He was about ready to talk about Wicked Strong there, but we will reconnect with Joe Drape of the New York Times. That's a bad time to get disconnected when he's giving you another winner here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, you'll be able to hear all of the action pregame and the race live and the post-race Saturday from the Belmont right here on ESPN radio coverage beginning at 4 o'clock out in New York. So we will have all of that for you Saturday afternoon here on Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation 1460 and 1550. This is an 11 horse field. California Chrome, the 3-5 favorite, Wicked Strong right now, 6-1. Tonalist sitting at 8-1. Then you've got Right On Curlin and Commanding Curve, who were there in the previous races. Commanding Curve, the runner up, of course, in the Kentucky Derby. They're at 12-1 and at 15-1. We've reestablished our connection with Joe. And Joe, you were just talking about you're taking California Chrome on top, and then I think you were going to go into Wicked Strong.
Well, now I gave you my whole superfecta, and you guys missed it, so I'm going to keep the prices to myself right now.
AT&T, ahead of you.
I did lose you. Yeah, Wicked Strong in second. I'm going to use Matuzak as a long shot in my second, third, and fourth holes. I'm going to use Right On Curlin in my second, third, and fourth holes. The horse I think I'm going to take a stand against is Tonalist. And Tonalist is going to be the second favorite. He's the buzz horse. You know, a lot of people are high on him. So, you know, he goes off 6, 7, 8-1. I don't think he lands there. And I'll use a little bit of General A-Rod underneath there, too. So, you know, that's where I'm going. But there's no doubt I am rooting for Chrome. I am looking for Chrome to win. I do think he is going to win. And, you know, I think it's going to be a very nice day and a historic day, hopefully, out there.
Well, last minute here with Joe Drape of the New York Times, and we'll let him get back to work there. A lot of what I'm reading, a lot of what I'm seeing on television, a lot of what I'm hearing as I'm paying attention here, and you alluded to it, there's a lot of comparisons. Not that he's as good of a horse as Secretariat, but if you're a general sports fan, I know they make fun of, wow, he's handling the media and he has heads up and he's looking good. But horsemen really believe in that kind of thing. And it sounds like this horse is every bit of the showman that Secretariat was.
You know, I had an old race tracker, Ralph Thoreau, yesterday tell me, an old jocks agent, now working as a placing judge. been around forever. He said, you know, this is a laid-back horse. You could put a bomb off next to him, and he wouldn't move. And every morning he comes out, and he stands around for 20 minutes, just looks around, and there's 300 people around him, clicking pictures, you know, all kinds of commotion, horses out working out in front. He is a very cool customer. The second thing Ralph said, and this is what I guess makes me feel like we might be seeing something. The workout he had last Saturday, he goes, that's a video game workout. You can't ask for a better way to how he accelerated through the quarters and then galloped out in such strong fashion. So, you know, he really does look like a smart, never-get-rattled, talented horse. The one thing that is probably a little concerned, there's two things that are concerned. Let's say three things. The mile and a half. Well, nobody knows if he can go a mile and a half. We're all going to find out together. Two, lingering in the gate. So far, he hadn't done that for four or five races. Let's hope he gets out. And three is he has this kind of running style where he has a high cruising speed, which usually wins these races. If you think about it, they're always out in front, and then they just kind of gallop them to death. He has that, but in the races past, he has that quick turn of foot. You know what I'm talking about, how he spurted away both times? Like he just separates. It's kind of like a wide receiver on a cornerback.
Yeah.
He separates, and then, you know, he gets away. It's quick, but they're always kind of running at him at the end. So it's going to be really key of when Victor asks him to put that burst in. If he does it early, he's going to get caught in the stretch. If he does it just right, he's going to be able to hold it off. So, you know, you're getting me all excited talking about this. It's a little early for this. But, you know, that's why it's a great fun game, why you and I like it, why we hope your listeners like it, because you could think it to death, and everybody has an opinion. And you go to the window and you put $2 down, and your opinion is either rewarded or it's denied. And that's basically what's going to happen to him on Saturday.
Last question for Joe Drape, New York Times. This is an aside because as a play-by-play man myself and being an announcer in sports radio, I've been reading a little bit that this is it for Tom Durkin. And we all have grown up with some great calls as far as the Triple Crown, if you're old enough to remember, especially Secretariat, because it was so monumental of a length, of a lead, of a win. And Tom Durkin, who I enjoy listening to call the races, is going to step aside. I just wanted to know if you had any comment or story about it.
You know, he's a great friend. I did a long story on him this week. You know, he's the Vin Scully of horse racing. His voices on all the signature victories. He did all the Breeders' Cups for 22 years. He did the Derbies and the Triple Crown for 19 years. And he's a really interesting guy, a true passionate craftsman. So he's all week been going through his notebook of 2,000 phrases and words. He's been looking at videotapes, silks, pictures of the horse. You know, he knows that he wants to do it the justice it deserves. And he, too, is 07 with a scratch. He hadn't been able to call one here. And he has getting out. He's 63. It's time to get out. He's had a wonderful career. But the remarkable thing is in the last 20 years, he's had incredible performance anxiety to the point where he's meditated, he's hypnotized, he's used medication, he's tried everything. And I think the biggest testament to how much he loves this sport is he's made himself miserable, but he calls 2,000 races a year. Mm. Now think about that. That, you know, that's overcoming a lot because he loves something. So, you know, let's hope the racing gods sent him off okay too.
Well, it'll be fun, and folks, you can always follow, you can go to the New York Times website, you can follow Joe on Twitter, it's just at Joe Drape, D-R-A-P-E, and Joe, I got a smile because I see that your last tweet was about Smith Center Kansas football.
Absolutely, Coach Roger Bardick gets inducted into the Kansas Hall of Fame with a big class of Chucky Williams, DeLoss Dodds, you know, great guy. I tweeted and I meant it that I've never had so much fun and learned so much as I did on a project when me and my family went to Smith Center, moved down there, and got to follow that team, that community, and him as an educator and a coach. And, you know, he deserves more praise than I can give him. But I'm just really happy for him, and I'm sure the town is as well.
Well, Joe, we always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Enjoy the race this weekend. Let's see if some history is made.
Let's hit them, guys.
Sounds good, Joe. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Joe Drape. He's the best from the New York Times. Follow him at Joe Drape on his Twitter account and a lot more as we get ready for the Belmont. Andy from Midway is going to slide in here in just a moment. We're going to have a little fun as well. Again, don't forget the Belmont Stakes Saturday here on ESPN. If you're getting ready for some lunch, then how about Cunningham's? Forget the ordinary leftovers. Don't worry. You got to work and you went, I got to eat. I need some food. The place to be for great food and, of course, live entertainment of all your favorite sports to watch, including the NHL and the NBA championships, is at Cunningham's on 23rd Street on the Bricks, downtown Kearney. Can't leave work for lunch? Well, stop in for happy hour from 3 to 6. Big ass beers are 3.5. Well, drinks are only $1.50. Thursday, your lunch special is a pub burger and beer, only $6.49. Open 7 days a week. Lunch special 7 days a week. The kitchen is open until late into the evening. And, of course, with the courtyard open now, you can enjoy some fine beverages outside where it's beautiful, and it has been for most of this week. Some live entertainment as well. It's all there for you. Cunningham's Journal. The Loft and Courtyard, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney. Andy from Midway is here with us in the Doug and Daddy studio, has recovered from our golf outing on Monday. First, thanks, and thanks for making me feel like man, I don't know what I'm doing out there. But we had some fun out at UNK Blue Gold. As we said, Midway does a lot of things besides sell cars, giving back to the community. We see your name everywhere.
Well, we really appreciate that, and thanks for coming out. We had a blast also, and we don't pride ourselves on being the world's greatest golfers, as we demonstrated out there at Meadowlark on Monday. But like you said, we had fun. It's been a long time since I think we've played in a charity event like that, that the weather was that cooperative. Oh, yeah. It was absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, that was good. So I just had to give myself that reality check that I will never be an amateur or a pro golfer. So, no, but there's a lot of great things going on down at the Chrysler store this month. And I think the first thing that I really need to kind of bring to the forefront, we've been talking about it now for the last month, has been the great deals on these 2014 Avengers. This is going to be the last year that they make the new Avenger. I'm not saying it's not going to come back out in a year or two after it's been revamped or whatnot, but if you've ever been in the market for something that's a four-door sedan and something that you can basically just almost steal right off of the showroom floor, these things list for about $21,500, and right now you can take over $5,000 off of the sticker price. So you can go buy a brand new four-door sedan that's going to get around 30 miles to the gallon that lists for $21,500 for about $16,500. Folks, that's ridiculous when you think about the 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and the 3-year, 36,000-mile limited manufacturer's bumper-to-bumper warranty. And the deals really don't stop there, but that's the first one that came to my mind. And then kind of while we're on that kick of that midsize four-door sedan, the all-new, completely redesigned 2015 Chrysler 200C is at the dealership. We actually got one of the first 2015 Chrysler 200s on the ground. We've got a number of these things that are going to be coming. Folks, if you've ever seen like a Chrysler Sebring or, you know, the revamped Chrysler 200, block all those images out and start from scratch, because this thing is absolutely gorgeous. This is really going to go ahead and kind of change people's perceptions of the midsize sedans that are involved in that Chrysler lineup. And then the big thing is, we just got out of a conference call. I was telling Doug about that a couple hours ago. And Jeep is absolutely the hottest product in America right now. We were up 46% last month across the United States in Jeep sales. Folks, it is because of what the Jeep has to offer right now. Whether it's a Grand Cherokee or a Wrangler or a Cherokee or a Compass or a Patriot, they are absolutely flying off the shelves, and we've got a great selection of them right now. So if you've ever been thinking about a Jeep, get on down to Midway Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram. And last but not least, let's not forget what kind of got, you know, Chrysler here. And we used to call it the Dodge Ram, yeah, and now it's just called the Ram. This product is absolutely phenomenal. I've been a Ram owner myself. I grew up in a General Motors family. It was tough for me to go ahead and make that decision, and I still think the Silverado's got a lot of great things going for it. But the big thing is I think when it comes down to maximizing on your dollar and getting the most bang for your buck, you've really got to give Ram a shot. It's a 2013 and 2014 Motor Trend Light Duty Truck of the Year. We have had one of the Eco Diesels in. It does get 28 miles to the gallon. I would love to have 30 of them sitting out on our lot right now because we could sell all 30. It's pretty limited production right now, though. If you put a sold order in, we can probably go ahead and get you one. But we've got over 70 different Rams to choose from in stock and in transit. So that's the big thing, folks. We're talking about selection. We're talking about saving money off the top and giving you great deals during the month of June. And the best place to come get it is Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram.
South 2nd Avenue. Kearney, folks, you can always go online to thinkmidway.com. Get back to work.
I will.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
California Chrome flashed breathtaking closing speed to win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Now he takes on the $1.5 million Belmont Stakes, the longest, most exhausting final leg of the Triple Crown. Simulcast for wagering Saturday at Bonner Park. Be there for the Belmont, plus world-class racing from 23 tracks. First race, 10:25, clubhouse open, 1 p.m. California Chrome runs for the Triple Crown. Watch and wager Saturday, Bonner Park, Grand Island.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you. And always here at chsagra.com.
Doug and Daddy Show wrapping things up on this Thursday. Congratulating Tri-City Storm forward Garrett Gomez, named the USHL's Kurt Hammer Award winner for this year, presented annually since the 1989 season, recognizing the player who distinguishes himself both on and off the ice by demonstrating outstanding performance skills, leadership, pride, and determination. Gomez played his second USHL season for the Storm, second leading scorer, and his 28 assists ranked 27th in the league overall. Gomez graduated from Kearney High School following last season, used his role as a hockey player to help promote the game in his community. He actively participates in the Learn to Skate program. He also helped launch a reading program at a local elementary school named Reading Up a Storm, and then made regular appearances to promote the initiative and celebrate with students who met their reading goals. So all the things that Gomez does, he has been in a barn painting project that benefited the Central Nebraska Make-A-Wish program and a whole lot more. Congratulations to Garrett Gomez of the Tri-City Storm. That's not just, hey, forward of the year, goalie of the year, you know, player of the week. That is a great, great award, the Kurt Hammer Award. Congratulations on
that. And I believe that's pretty much going to bring us to the end of the program. The Nebraska women will play Duke at home in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and that's coming up next December, so that'll be pretty cool. December 3rd, Duke was second in the ACC. Nebraska won the conference tournament, so that'll be coming up at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. Nebraska freshman Ryan Bolt named to the Louisville Slugger Freshman All-American Team and an American Legion baseball action last night. Both the Hastings juniors and seniors, 5 points in Johnson Imperial, swept doubleheaders from Norfolk. Grand Island and Kearney played some exciting games. The Kearney Post 52 juniors edged Grand Island 5 points, 1-0. They didn't get their first hit until the last inning, and Alex Harris for Kearney only allowed one hit. Grand Island Dinsdale beat the Kearney 5 points, juniors in extra innings, 7-6 and 8. And Phoenix Stevenson, we talked about him in the high school season. He was 4-4 for Grand Island Home Federal. They remain unbeaten with a 7-2 win over Kearney Renza in Legion Baseball last night. We get you ready for the Shrine Bowl tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can hear that Saturday on Classic Hits 98.9. We'll also have more on the Belmont with Gina Bucola of the TVG Network. Mike Perenio, the race and sportsbook director from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, will join us as well, and Jim Langan will slide in as our co-host. Thanks to Joe Drape of the New York Times and Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.